This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with part two of a five-part series that I'm calling Calming Down in Crisis, and it has to do with psychological first aid. Last session, I talked about doing a self-assessment. I always start from a self-assessment, don't I? And so I wanted us to think about who or what we were or are or become in a crisis. And my perspective on this is that sometimes you have to kind of know what you become in order to prepare for it, because some of us can get pretty worked up and some of us may not be so. And I looked at personality and I looked at activity and I looked at proclivity. And so I asked you to take some notes because we'll be referring back to that. I also talked about getting a go bag for your head before a crisis. And sometime during this series, I hope to actually talk with you about what goes in your go bag physically as well as emotionally. Today, I want to go in more detail about the whole issue of this whole arena. Now, this goes by many names. If you're going to Google this stuff, you could find lots of great resources when Googling things like emergency mental health, disaster mental health training, psychological first aid, or disaster behavioral health. And unfortunately, there's no one way in which these are all used the same. In other words, psychological first aid, which I have been trained in, is not always referring to the same thing, depending on if you're working with governmental agencies or International Red Cross or whatever. So I wish I could give you more specificity on this, but this is where we are right now, to the best that I can determine. When you think of psychological first aid, think pie. Yep, that's right. Pecan pie, boysenberry pie, razzleberry pie, lemon meringue, chiffon, chocolate cream, banana cream. Think pie. Well, not pie, but, you know, pie as in P-I-E versus P-I, which is 3.1416, blah, blah, blah. So, pie. Pie refers to proximity. P, or support, is given close to the scene of the crisis or trauma. I, or immediacy, support is given right away, and E, expectancy. And this is a little bit different because psychological first aid assumes that many people or most people are going to return to basically their relatively good functioning. In other words, it assumes that people have a natural propensity to get over or to grow from crisis. Most of this stuff that I'm talking about in this series comes from a person by the name of Patricia Santucci, S-A-N-T-U-C-C-I. If you were to Google her name, you would also find some of her stuff. And she has a nice way of putting things together that I think relate well to radio. So I'm going to use some of her major domains and then embellish them with me. When we talk about psychological first aid in a non-U.S. environment, there are many things that can make some of this not work as well. And I want you to understand that I know that, and I'll try and work from that perspective. And it gets back to my concern that in many parts of the majority world, chronic crisis exists. So people are already operating in a very lowered level of effectiveness because they are still in crisis, and one crisis starts and before that gets resolved, another one is added to that, and then another one. And crises are not just the fact that there might have been an earthquake. Well, there's an earthquake and lots of death and lots of trauma, and then you have just natural insecurity types of things and perhaps That all occurs in around a police action or comprehensive health emergency or whatever. And so I understand that many of you listening to this are going to be in a situation where this doesn't always play out. And I'll try to be sensitive to that. And I encourage you to communicate with me if there's anything that I leave out or create a false impression. But the expectation is that people will get through crises as opposed to be completely traumatized and off the deep end, if you will. I also want to talk a little bit about the differences between disaster behavioral health and traditional mental health, because there are some significant differences in terms of how we look at things. For example, in disaster behavioral health, the main focus of us is in outreach. Whereas in traditional mental health, it may be office or hospital based. Disaster behavioral health or psychological first aid restores functioning, whereas traditional mental health tends to impact personality and functioning. Psychological first aid is focused on adaptation of coping skills and to accept what people say that really is where they are. Whereas maybe traditional mental health looks at probing the content. How does the past influence the future? We don't have time for that in the immediate pie arena of disaster behavioral health and psychological first aid. And there's very little mental health jargon, which some of you are going to be thrilled to hear. And it's a psychoeducational focus, whereas traditional mental health has a psychotherapeutic focus. So you have to remember that. Today, I want to talk about the ABCs, or start talking about the ABCs of survivor support. And this comes from Santucci. The first one today is decrease arousal. Well, what is arousal? Well, arousal is everything that's going on, the difficulty concentrating. People who are aroused are at a very high level of activity. They're excited. They're excitable. They're vigilant. They're prone to having anxiety. They're just all messed up. And these people that you will see are going to be very concerned about getting safe and everything. So what do you do in these kinds of situations? Well, you try and decrease the arousal, the excitement. Okay, how do you do that? Well, you try and protect them. You try and find them a way to get to a safer place. You try and connect them to their family or their social support to the best of your ability. And you try and get them out of the arena in which everything is going on. So in terms of practical aspects, as a psychological first aid resource person, I'm going to say, can I take this victim, this survivor, and help them find out how to get to a safer place, to a restaging area, to a place where they can get their medical needs met, to a place where somebody can talk to them, to a place where they can calm down and maybe rest well, where they can get something to eat. Very practical, not a lot of jargon, very concerned about safety. So decrease arousal, decrease excitement. I suppose arousal may not translate into an A word in other languages, so excitement. But in English, it's the ABCs that make sense. So these are some of the strategies. Secondly, we want to decrease the behavior disorderment. That doesn't make sense, but to decrease behavior disorders. Well, what is that? Well, when people are in the midst of a crisis, nothing is going on that's normal. So we want to try and help them resume normal activity. For example, if it's around a mealtime, then one of the greatest ways to resume normal activities is to give them something to eat. If it's around time that they should be trying to get ready for bed, then that's a resuming a normal activity. And we need to stabilize. We need to give them the opportunity to do some things that may feel normal. Well, that's great, Brent, you're thinking. This is a big earthquake. It destroyed all the buildings in the town, and you're telling me to get some normal stuff going on. What do I mean by that? Great question, by the way. Well, what I mean by that is that it's important to help them, even if it's an artificial normality, but to help them do that. So you're trying to reunite them with family members, and you're trying to give them a little space that can say, this is for right now, your home place. You're going to be here for the next period of time, and this is where we're going to try and have food. Can you do some normal things? The kids are running around. Can we get the kids to stay with you and maybe play some games? Can you talk to them? Can they start getting ready for bed and stuff like that? Certainly, you can't force this at this point, but sometimes the best things to help people start the recovery and continuation process of life is to give them space and a place that they can start doing the things that they did before. It may be completely artificial, but it is a start. Well, those are the first two of the six steps of the ABCs, and obviously A, B, C, D, E, F, and I'm going to be talking about them more. I hope this was helpful. I want you to think about, were you ever in a crisis, and how did you manage that in terms of this? What helped you decrease your arousal and decrease the behavior disorders? Think about that, take some notes, and we'll get back to you. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.